More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, parenting puzzlers. Raising kids is hard no matter what age they are. Puzzled about parenting? We'll help you navigate parenting challenges from infancy to adulthood. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, parenting puzzlers. Raising kids is hard no matter what age they are. If you're puzzled about parenting, we want to help you navigate parenting challenges at every age and stage, from infancy all the way through adulthood. So give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825.
And some people might say, Popchak, what are you talking about? Adulthood. You know, give it a break. You're not parenting when your children are adults. Well, if you can figure out how to completely separate your heart from your adult children, your grandchildren, then maybe you're better off, or maybe you should be taking a harder look at those kids. Because we are parents forever. We worry about their spiritual and physical and emotional well-being. Of course, when we're parenting adult children, we can't parent the way we did when they were under our roof and they were minor, you know, of minor age, because we can't tell them what to do. We can't make things happen in their lives. We don't have that kind of relationship anymore, nor should we. But we want to know what kind of influence we can have, how much we should get involved, and how much we shouldn't get involved. And it can feel confusing and oftentimes frustrating. So if you are struggling with any age child, if you're in those little years with your kids and you're thinking one day, I got this, this is going great, and the next day they change, they enter a new stage or a new way of behaving, and you're thinking, what happened to yesterday? How do I make this happen? This is really hard. We're here for that and for every age and stage.
877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. If you have a younger child who's having a hard time handling their emotions or struggling to behave well or dealing with school or social problems, if you have a teen who's pushing back against your faith or your rules, or you have an adult child who's struggling in some way and you're not sure how to help them, we are here for you at every age and stage on our show titled Parenting Puzzlers. 877-573-7825.
And let's face it, if you're parenting at any stage right now, there is so much more to handle than there has ever been. I mean, the whole world intrudes on your child's life through devices that they have in their lives, through the awfulness of some of the things that are going on in the news and everyday life, for the very odd expectations that can be had out there from our children or about our children. Parenting has a whole new level of hard right now. And if you need a little extra grace and a few really practical tips on what to do about whatever it is that's stressing you out about parenting, and give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. 25.
I also want to let all of our listeners know that this evening, Lisa and I will be running our monthly live Q&A through the Catholic Home app. That's Catholic H-O-M. If you are interested in continuing this conversation about parenting every day with Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches, you can get personalized advice every day on the Catholic HOM app if you become a subscriber. In addition to that personalized accompaniment and advice, you can also watch as a family our whole Catholic Home animated series, which can teach your family how to come together and build a more loving, caring, connected Catholic household. You can download tons of fun, faith-building family activities on our downloadable section, tune into exclusive podcast content for Catholic moms and dads and families, and get support from other Catholic families around the world. Check it out. Download the Catholic HOM app today, and join us tonight at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central, for our monthly live Catholic Home Q&A.
I love our monthly Q&As. It's a wonderful time of just sort of having everybody over to our house and just in a very chill way having those conversations, us and you guys together, on all the things that concern us as parents. And I love it because people are in every situation when they come in. There's some people are sitting in their car while their kids are at some kind of rehearsal or practice. Other people have attended while they're actually doing their gardening. Anywhere that you can get on Zoom, you can join us. It's a come-as-you-are situation. And, yeah, your kids can be around and tussling all over you while you're doing it. What a wonderful way to form a community and also get those answers you're looking for. So join us tonight.
You can download the Catholic HOM app and be part of the whole community. Hope to see you there. But we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Of course, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering what is that and how could it possibly help you with parenting questions, well, you've come to the right place. St. John Paul gave a series of reflections on how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships, especially marriage and family relationships, by prayerfully contemplating God's design of creation, and especially our bodies.
The theology of the body reminds us that God speaks to us through his creation. In that sense, he is speaking to us through our children as well. Often we think of parenting as a one-way street. Parents form their children, and children should listen to their parents. And that is certainly true. But God's also communicating to parents through the children he gives us. And he gives us the children we need as an invitation to grow in ways that we wouldn't if we didn't have those particular children. When dealing with a challenging child, it's important not just to throw our hands up in frustration and blame the child for being unworkable. Instead, we need to ask God daily to show us how he's asking us to change and grow so that we can give that child what he or she needs to become everything God created him to be in this life, and to get that child to heaven in the next.
Now, of course, we need to be praying for our kids every day, and that's especially true of our children who are struggling. But we also have to remember to pray that God would break open our hearts, that he would help us move past our rigidity or stubborn insistence on parenting that child in the same way we always have and expecting to get a different result. We have to ask God to change us and transform us so that we can know how to be what that child needs us to be, to bring out the best in them. Sometimes that's going to require us to be more gentle and generous than we're inclined to be. And sometimes that'll require us to be a little more firm than we normally would be. And sometimes it's going to require us to be more patient than we'd like. But in all of these things, we need to remember that we're not just doing these things to help our challenging child. We're doing these things because God is trying to heal wounds in us that need to be healed. And the more we do this, the more we imitate Christ, the Good Shepherd, who emptied himself and became flesh so that he could find and rescue each of us, his challenging children. 877-573-7825. Today we're talking about parenting puzzlers as we discuss the challenges of raising kids at every age and stage. We are here to help. 877-573-7825. Let's say our concerns to the Lord. And then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bring our children to you, whatever age and stage they are at, and we ask you, Lord, to help us to open our hearts to your grace that we might be effective instruments of healing, of love, of growth, that we would be able to mentor our children at every age and stage to be the people that you created them to be, to help them navigate the challenges they face in godly ways, and ultimately to help them to live for you. We ask you, Lord, to bless all of our families and make our homes true, dynamic domestic churches that experience our faith as the source of the warmth in our homes and show that love to the world so that our families can bring the world to you through our witness of love. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, our show is titled Parenting Puzzlers. Raising kids is hard no matter what age they are, and if you are struggling to navigate parenting challenges from infancy to adulthood, we've got the answers and the support you're looking for. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Glenda, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Colorado on Sirius XM 130.
Hi, Glenda. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
I was just calling to ask for some just advice. I'm trying to navigate now being my husband divorced me. He has now since remarried, and his new wife is not Catholic. And so I'm trying to keep our kiddos within our faith. I'm Catholic. I'm a practicing Catholic. My ex is not. And so it's just, I'm just trying to navigate.
And your kids are how old?
Coming off 11 and 14. I just don't want to like I'm bashing anyone, you know?
Well, I mean, you wouldn't need to in order to raise, you know, your kid, you know, your kids in the faith. Do you have custody, or kind of what's the arrangement there?
I'm sorry, I lost reception there.
Do you have custody?
We share 50-50.
Okay. So could you tell me what are you doing now to when you say, you know, you want to raise the kids in the faith? I mean, what are you doing now to try to do that?
Oh, so I mean, since the divorce, that's been one of the most beautiful things to come out from it. My kiddos were able to finish up and receive all their sacraments, so that was great because COVID really kind of put everything at a standstill. My son, I'm so proud of him. He altar serves. Which is, you know, hard to ask of a teenager, but he altar serves every Sunday. My daughter has joined the choir, and occasionally she altar serves. Mm-hmm. I help teach faith formation to first graders once a week. So we're very much involved.
So that's really, really good. What do you do at home about the faith?
See, that's where I find the struggle. We pray. We make sure to pray, especially.
Okay, that's good.
What does that look like for you, Glenda? When you say you pray, tell us what that looks like on a given day in your household.
Before bed, we always do our prayers. Before we leave, we do the sign of the cross and ask God to guide us throughout our journey in the day. We have, like, lots of conversations. I have them listen to EWTN and I always encourage them to ask me questions if there's something that they are unfamiliar with.
And do they? Do they ask you questions?
They do.
Yes. This is great. Okay.
Recently, my daughter has been very, you know, it's kind of a hard subject sometimes, especially my daughter asking me about, you know, abortions and, you know, having to explain that to her, because I will admit that before everything, I was very much a pro-choice person, but diving deep and really learning more and actually maybe opening myself up more to understanding.
All right. You know, I want to just jump on that one point for a second, Glenda. I was raised in a very pro-choice household, like militantly, and when I really understood the truth of it all, when a friend of mine really explained it in college, my whole life turned around on that. But that didn't keep me from explaining that to my kids as they were all coming up. You know, I really explained to them, hey, I got this from my family. This is what they said, but this is how I discovered that it was all a lie and really bad for women, and especially, of course, the children that we're losing, and bad for the whole world. Be honest with that journey, because that comes off as much more of a reality. So don't, in terms of that particular topic, just really be honest about that with your kids.
So, Glenda, you're doing a lot of good things. I mean, you're both outside the home and inside the home. What people need to realize, and you've started to do this already, so I want to affirm this and then build on it. We did a study through the Center for Applied Research and the Apostolate at Georgetown University that looked at families that successfully raised all their kids to a faithful adulthood. Now, the national average for raising kids to be faithful adults is 15%. Only about 15% of our kids grew up to be faithful adults. So obviously we need to do something different. So we study these families that successfully raised all of their kids to a faithful adulthood, and we looked at what's different about these households. We interviewed both the adult kids and the parents. What it comes down to is those families that successfully raised all their kids to a faithful adulthood really focused on living their faith at home, not just in the way they prayed together, but the way they related to each other, with the discussions that they had, with the way that they came together around problems and prayed through those problems and used their prayer as an opportunity to discuss those things. They used a more gentle approach to discipline, which was more rooted in a kind of a loving guidance and mentoring approach, as opposed to using heavy-handed discipline. They had strong rituals every day for working and playing and talking and praying together as a family in little ways. I mean, these are simple things like washing the dishes together or, having some time to play a game together, or just taking time to really talk about the kinds of things that you're discussing here. Just how does our faith relate to our everyday life, and then they prayed together, not just in ways where they said prayers, but they prayed about their day. They prayed about the challenges they faced. They prayed about the successes and praised God for the blessings that happened in the day. And so those families saw everything they did outside the home to celebrate their faith, including going to Mass regularly, Catholic school or youth groups or all that. They saw that as an extension of the way they were already living their faith at home. Again, not just in prayer time, but in the way their faith actually affected their relationships and drew them closer together and helped them live a more effective and faithful life. And so the more you can focus on those kinds of things, really using the faith to draw you guys together, having strong, and these don't necessarily, when I say having rituals for working, playing, talking, and praying together, those don't necessarily directly relate to faith-based topics, but it's about building that relationship with all of you mm-hmm. that enables that grace to flow more freely and gives you opportunities to talk with each other and be together and really lead a more joyful life. You were talking about not wanting to bash your husband and his wife, and you don't have to bash your husband.
Not at all.
What you want to do is create an environment where they really feel the faith making a difference in your home, because the faith being the source of the warmth in your home. So when they go and visit Dad and his wife,
They can have a perfectly
fine relationship
time.
With him.
It's great.
You want them to feel a difference between that household and your household in the way that your faith is impacting the quality of the relationships in the home.
The quality of the relationships in the home, but also that immediate, constant relationship with Jesus, that he exists in your home as another member of the family. So somebody's struggling with homework, you take that moment and say, hey, Lord, we just ask you to help my daughter with her homework right now. This is really hard. Be with her. Help her understand the concept. Help me to comfort her through this. Amen. Done. You're constantly talking to Jesus in a really practical, loving way.
Now, there are 12 family practices that these families practiced, that helped them draw closer to each other and experience the faith as the source of the warmth in the home. We don't have time to get into all of those here, but that's what we talk about on the Catholic HOM app. We teach families how to live out those 12 faith and family building practices that these families that successfully raised their kids to a faithful adulthood lived out in their everyday lives. And for example, at our live Q&A, we're going to talk more about those kinds of things. But every day on the app, we have resources and podcasts and daily daily advice from Lisa and I and our whole team of pastoral counselors and coaches. We'd love to have you be part of that as a way of continuing this conversation. You're doing some really good things already. We can help you build on that through the Catholic Home community if you're interested. So check it out. Download the Catholic HOM app today. Become a subscriber. Hope maybe you'll see you tonight at the live Q&A. But either way, you get to interact with us every day and get the coaching you need to live out those practices to build that more loving, connected, caring, faithful Catholic household on mission.
And sometimes that's even more important when we have to parent by ourselves. Sometimes Amen. You need that faithful support. So we're there for you if you'd like that.
Thanks for the call, and thank you for being such a faithful mom and having such a beautiful heart. We hope we can accompany you even further beyond this call by downloading the Catholic HOM app. We'll see you there. All right, we have to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Parenting Puzzlers, as we talk about raising kids at every age and stage, from infancy through adulthood. If you've got questions about parenting, we're here to help. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Jacob Flores Popchek, who's a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He'll be sharing some insights on how to draw your kids' hearts closer to you. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues. I'm Dr. Greg Popchek.
And I'm Lisa Popchek.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchek.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchek. Today's show is titled Parenting Puzzlers, as we talk about raising kids at every age and stage and all the challenges we face as parents. Joining us right now, Jacob Flores Popchek. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He is an expert on the theology of the body and practical applications. He's also an author and an illustrator. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
I appreciate being here.
So we wanted to talk a little bit about the idea of how do we empathize with our kids, especially when they're kind of freaking out about something that we don't really think is that big a deal. How do we do it, and why is it even important?
Well, empathy and compassion, I mean, what psychologists call empathy and what I think the church historically called compassion is really the core of the Christian life, right? I mean, if you can't show compassion, then you're not being a Christian. And I think they're important kind of practical reasons to do that, but we have to start off with a foundation that this is the basis of why we're even here. Now, look, whether your kid's 2 or 22, they're inevitably going to come to you with some things that just don't feel like a big deal to you. Maybe it's because they're stressed about a interest that they do not share with you or that you do not share with them. Maybe it's because they're a little guy and they're freaking out because their block tower fell down and you just don't feel like this is the end of the world the way that they do. But the reality of the matter is that for them, that is their whole world. And if we're going to say that their problems are just too small compared to mine for me to care about, well, then I would turn our listeners to, you know, the story of the servant who owed debts to the master who didn't forgive the debts of his own servant, right? That, you know, the story from the Gospels that Christ tells us, right? You know, this servant doesn't forgive his little servant's debts even as the master forgives his and shows himself to be a hypocrite as a result. Look, your problems are nothing compared to God, right? Your problems are also very tiny. But God lowers himself profoundly and dramatically in the incarnation to literally take our problems onto himself. And it is our job to incarnate, as it were, down to the level of our children and let their problems be a big deal to us in just exactly the same way, empathizing and being compassionate just as Christ does with us.
What does that do, though, for our relationship with our kids and their willingness to listen to us, especially when it comes to discipline?
Well, I think it's a general human rule that if I know that the person I'm speaking to actually legitimately cares, not just about me, but about the thing I'm telling them, then I'm automatically going to trust their advice about that thing. If I don't think that you care about the thing that I care about, then I can't necessarily trust that the advice you're giving me is going to be legitimate. But if you do care about it, if it seems like you really also think it's a big deal, I trust what's coming out of your mouth now, and I also trust you to come back to you with things that are genuinely a big deal later, because you've proven to me that you take me seriously with the small things.
Now, we've got about 30 seconds left, but I just want to, you know, saying to our kids, oh, it's not a big deal, don't worry about it. I mean, we're trying to be compassionate, but that's not the kind of empathy you're talking about.
No, I mean, I don't think that's empathy at all, right? You know, because I already feel like it's a big deal, and it's your job to show me that it is a big deal, but that we can handle it together, right? Yeah, your block tower fell down. I'm so sorry, buddy. That's a huge deal. But you know what? It's going to be okay because we can put it back together. Yeah, your girlfriend broke up with you. That's a huge deal. I'm so sorry. Let's work out a way to deal with that together. That's actual compassion. The other thing is just dismissal.
Jacob, thank you so much for being with us. Great tips, really important foundational skill for successful, faithful parenting. And if you'd like to learn more, listeners, check out Jacob's good work at CatholicCounselors.com. We're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Back in a minute. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Did you know that research shows that married couples who find time to connect in meaningful ways tend to be happier and more resilient? It's not just about going out for a date now and then. It's about connecting in simple, ordinary ways on a daily and weekly basis. It's about finding ways to work, play, talk, and pray together instead of individually. For example, when couples choose to make a meal or clean up the kitchen together, that experience can nurture a sense of teamwork and collaboration that spills over into other areas of their relationship. Couples can connect by regularly doing something fun together, too. It doesn't need to be big. It might be as simple as reading a book together or taking an interest in one another's hobbies. As small as these rituals of connection might seem, over time, they create a deep, solid foundation for any marriage. They create the time couples need to share experiences, relate on a deeper level, and build a shared life together. Get more tips for building a strong marriage in the book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. And if you would like to find faithful help with your relationship, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Folks, you are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And today on More to Life, parenting puzzlers. You know, raising kids is hard no matter what age they are. Whether you have little kids who are having a hard time handling their emotions or behaving well, or you've got teens who are dealing with social or school problems, or they're pushing back against your faith or values or rules, or you have an adult child who's struggling in some way and you're not sure how to be there for them. We want to help you be a more effective, faithful parent. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Rebecca, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hi, Rebecca. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Thank you. Oh, I'm a grandmother. My husband is with me. We're 76 and 81. He's 81. And we've got my two granddaughters living with us now temporarily, I think. They've been taken from their homes. Their mother and father are separated. And they're in a custody battle. And I've had them 3 weeks now, going on four, and I'm having difficulty getting them up for school in the morning. They're late. And I talked to the mother last night that I had a rumor of how she could help me, and I explained to her they were late. And she said, oh, that was him. The father wasn't getting them up and getting them to bed on time. But anyway, I don't talk to them about
it
in the morning on the way to school. I always wait till they come home. And
tell me about what's the morning routine. Let's talk through like how are you handling it right now? What happens?
7:15, the alarm's supposed to go off 7:15. I let them choose the time, and she has to leave here about 10 till 8. and she's, the 10-year-old is slow, and it's...
Well, so are they doing all this on their own, or are you part of that process? Or
yes, what? I'm coming in and waking her up a little bit before her alarm goes off. Just kind of a nudge. She doesn't want the blinds open. She doesn't want the light on. I turn the fan off. Just different things, and then I make noise in the next room that it's time to wake up, and then I go back into the kitchen and kind of start a little breakfast and check back and forth. And then the other one, the 12-year-old, she gets to school at 8:25, and she should be getting up by that time. I have to knock on her door. When we leave for the 8 o'clock school, there's an elementary school for the 10-year-old.
I've got enough to kind of offer some thoughts here.
Yeah, and I have to say, first of all, God bless you for helping these kids out. That please realize that this is such an adjustment for you and your husband and the kids. This is all pretty new from what you're saying. It's very difficult for them. They're probably going through, you know, a great deal of not feeling normal, possibly even a little bit of depression, anxiety about all of this, and just not having it all together and not really wanting to be bothered with school in the midst of their parents going through all this and their lives being turned upside down. That said, even if these were your children and everything was perfect in their lives, getting out of bed is hard for all of us.
That's
and
true.
They're not getting enough time to get ready, and there's not enough structure in this situation to make it work. So you're kind of setting yourself up for frustration.
Well, and based on what you shared, Rebecca, you know, instead of mom and dad helping them learn this, mom and dad are too interested in blaming each other.
Yeah.
To be they've been blamers, not parents. And I'm sure they have their own pain and their own struggles and whatever, but they haven't been helping their kids actually develop the skills that are necessary to get up and get moving. Now, you know, a 10 and a 12-year-old, assuming that they've had the support and the kind of mentoring that they need along the way, you know, are capable of getting ready for school in the morning and all that. But your granddaughters aren't, because they haven't had that stable household where they've had a mom and dad working together to actually teach them how to get up in the morning and get ready and get moving through the thing. So this is not something that you should expect them to do on their own at this point. This is something where you kind of have to assume that if I'm not seeing them do it, it ain't getting done. All right. So when you go in there in the morning, wake them up, have them sit up, sit with them, pray over them in the morning. Okay. You know, let's pray together. So you cuddle together for a minute. You just kind of give her a hug. You know, you wake them up, you bring them together. You pray with them, okay, Lord, and please bless their day and help them to have a good day and help them to know how much you love them and how much I love them. You know, if there are any particular concerns, if they have tests coming up, you know, pray about the test. If there are, you know, any struggles at school, pray about that. You know, just basically, you know, collect them, right? And when you feel like, okay, they're awake, they're collected, you guys have made that connection, now it's time, get them into the bathroom to go start brushing their teeth and getting ready in the morning and doing what they need to do, right? And then whenever you see them actually doing it, then you can kind of check out for a second there and go, you know, pull
get
some things together for breakfast,
ready.
Whatever, which is what she's saying
all
she's
those
doing.
Things, you
but
know,
then you have to come
and
go back and,
way.
Okay, guys, it's time to move on to the next thing. So you're kind of taking on that coach role where
a
you're...
A very aggressive coach.
Yeah,
but
well...
Happy coach, but...
Not,
you know,
yeah, not mean
really
aggressive, but like, you know, directive.
Yeah,
right?
Directive.
Where you're helping them develop the internal clock they need to learn to get ready on their own. See, if we were to time you getting ready in the morning, like, just without even thinking about it, you would probably spend X amount of time in the bathroom, X amount of time brushing your teeth, X amount of time getting dressed. And it would be the same almost every day because your internal clock has developed to the point where you just do it.
And if you had to get up, say, for a doctor's appointment or a meeting at church or something like that, you'd know internally, oh, well, I better get up by this time. You'd do it backwards to figure it out. Right now, all of their decision-making is based on feelings and arbitrary thoughts. So please don't give them the right to decide when they get up, because they don't have a clue.
Right. So you have to, because they weren't raised in a stable household where mom and dad were working together to teach them to have this rhythm, this routine in the morning, they don't have that internal clock. So that's why you're going to have to teach them that by creating a structure where you know, you do the kinds of things I was talking about, and coach them through getting ready and all the different steps they have to do to get ready to get out the door in time. So I realize that's a lot to ask you as grandparents who are 76 and 81. But again, I'm grateful that you're taking this on. This is what they're going to need in order to pull this off successfully. Taking away, you mentioned to our screener that you've taken away phones or you've used other punishments. That won't help them.
Well, I think she means it at bedtime, so they're not sitting around in bed like looking at their devices.
Well, either way, it's not going to help them have the skills of getting ready in the morning without some kind of a structure and consistent routine that you are in charge of coaching them through.
And margin, make that wake up call early enough that they can go a little bit slower, or that you can have that part-time or discussion or whatever that is. It's okay to get up a little bit early. You know this as a wise woman who's been through life. Give yourself some extra time. Get them out of bed. Let them feel good. Plan their outfits the night before and lay everything out together so they just have to get into them and there's no decision making in the morning. Get their backpacks ready and by the front door so that there's not all that kerfuffle to deal with.
Be compassionate, be empathic, but you're the one who decides what time they should get up. You're the one who should be opening the blinds, not letting them, you're trying to be gentle and kind to them. And you can still be gentle and kind, but those are things that need to happen to get them up.
They really, really need grown-ups in their lives right now. And you're saying, you're in your 70s, your husband's in his early 80s. I know that you'd like some time to yourself at this point in your life, but you also have so much wisdom and practical skill to share with them, and I think that's what God's really calling you to share at this moment in time.
All right, Rebecca, thank you so much for the call. I know that these suggestions will help, but if there's more that we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or at CatholicCounselors.com if you want more personalized support. And the Catholic HOM app is available for you as well, for anybody who is caring for children every day and wants that support to build a more faithful, loving, caring, connected Catholic household. It's Catholic HOM. All right, we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825 on our show today titled Parenting Puzzlers. Before we do our scripture of the day, though, I want to let you know about a new resource, great resource from EWTN. It's Wings. Wings is EWTN's weekly e-newsletter. Find out about EWTN radio and TV shows, items from EWTN's religious catalog, and tons more. You can subscribe to the Wings email by going to EWTN.com and click subscribe.
I love it, because that way you'll never miss those really special events that might be coming up on EWTN. So subscribe to it today.
Check it out. We are going to be taking your calls after the break on our show titled Parenting Puzzlers. The number is 877-573-7825. But as we head out, it is time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Luke chapter 15, verses 4 through 6.
Who among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep."
And we picked this today because this is a model for parenting as well. Just as Christ pours all of himself out to look for every last lost sheep, we as parents are called to image that good shepherd in our relationship with our children, and not just say, they're just dumb, or they're just broken, or they're just, I tried hard, but they didn't get it. And instead, really asking God to teach us where we need to look and how we need to change so that we can open up our hearts to what our children need from us so that we can lead them to the Lord through that heart-to-heart connection. If you're wondering what that looks like in your situation, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Parenting is hard, especially when you're dealing with a kid who's struggling in some way. Whether you have a younger child who's having a hard time handling their feelings, behaving well, or dealing with a school problem, or you have a teen who's dealing with social issues, or they're pushing back against your faith or values or rules. Maybe you have an adult child who's struggling in some way and you're not sure how to be there for them. We are here for you at 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up after the break.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa. and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Parenting Puzzlers, as we talk about the challenges we all face in raising kids, no matter what age or stage they're in. Whether you're dealing with younger children, teens, or adult kids, we want to help you be a more confident Catholic parent. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jessica, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Washington.
Jessica, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, I was calling today. I have a 10-year-old who has very big emotions and reactions to things. So, for example, to give you something specific, so last night he accidentally knocked over a laptop onto the ground. So my husband asked him to apologize, and he started getting very emotional, and then it turned into a complete meltdown, and tried to talk him down and explain that.
What does a meltdown look like? Sorry, when you said he went to a meltdown?
He screams and spirals, and he starts. The part that's scary is mom, is he says things like "I hate my life" and stuff like that. That's a little dark and scary. And just goes very dark and very deep. And I've tried to tell him, I'm like, we love you. Is what you're questioning this in your head, but we still love you, and trying to work through him with on it. But I just, if you have any techniques or advice on just how to handle him when he's in that mental state.
Yeah, sure. So, when that happens, what's going on is, and this is true for any person, we are emotional, and I'll give you some resources too. So we actually talk about this in Parenting Your Kids with Grace, and we talk about the emotional temperature scale there. And as the emotional temperature increases, say on a scale of 1 to 10, right, you're describing, a kid who kind of goes, up to a 9 or a 10 automatically, right, very quickly. And once that happens, the content of what he says is less important than the emotion behind it, and you really can't engage with him until he's calmed himself back down at this point, right? Now, I wouldn't be telling you this. There would be different advice if he was 4, right, or 5, or even 6. But at this age, he has to learn how to get himself calmed back down, because the more we try to engage with a kid at this age, at this emotional temperature, the more they think it's our job to help them calm down. And the problem with that is we can't do it. Because by about 6 or 7, self-talk kicks in, right? They have enough sophisticated language that they can start pouring gas on their own fire. Right, and if we're talking about a 4-year-old, they don't have self-talk. They just know they feel bad, and so you are coaching them through it. And okay, honey, let's take a deep breath and let's calm down, and it's going to be okay. And you're teaching that little child how to have self-talk. Now, if we keep that up, say past 6 or so, then what happens is the kid's self-talk kicks in and they're able to pour gas on their own fire, but they still expect us to calm them down, and we can't because of the self-talk, so then they get even angrier at us because you're supposed to be helping me feel better and you're not. So they get angrier and angrier and angrier. So the only way through this is by carving out space for them to go be in a place where they can be safe and be by themselves until their emotional temperature comes back down. And then you're able to process what happened and how to handle it better. Right? So what I'm going to suggest to you here is you want to move more quickly through that initial thing. So going back to the laptop, he drops the laptop, knocks the laptop off the table. Dad asks him to apologize. He starts getting upset. It's like, honey, I love you, and it's all going to be okay. I do need you to apologize for this. If it goes up beyond that, then he goes, okay, I need you to go to your room, to take time to calm down, and when you are calmer, we will process this. Now, how do you know if he's calm? It's not just, I'm fine now, I'm fine, it's okay, don't you? It's, you can see that he's receptive, right? As the emotional temperature starts to come down, kids become more receptive to what you're saying. They talk back and forth. It's not, they don't shut down or talk back. They're not fidgety. they're calm. Now, it might take him a good long while because he's not used to having to turn inward to calm himself down. Right, he's and this happens. I'm seeing this more and more, where kids have learned that mom and dad are supposed to be the ones to kind of calm me down. So they don't learn how to turn in on themselves to say, I need to slow my breathing down, and I need to calm myself down, and I need to just sort of sit here and just collect my thoughts. It's going to take him a while to figure that out. But you really can't help him do it at this stage. You just have to give him the space to be on his own to do that work. And then you check in on him every 10 or 15 minutes or so. Don't let him come out on his own. He stays in that place you put him until he is calm, and you're going to check in on him regularly, 10 or 15 minutes or so, and see how receptive he is. If he's calm enough to have a back and forth, reasonable, respectful conversation, to be kind of sad, but you know, pleasant, then you can say, okay, let's talk about what happened and what you need to do to handle it. And you can role play that situation again so that he can show you that he knows what to do. But if you check in on him in 10 or 15 minutes and he's still upset or still, I love you. I know you can figure this out. I'll be back in a few minutes to check in on you again. And keep resetting what his job is. You know, if you want to, you know, to coach him, say, look, take some deep breaths. You know, really just let you know how to pray. Let ask God to help you with this. I will be back. But make him do the work. It's going to be hard. It's going to take a couple of weeks. But if you can do this consistently and kind of shorten the leash, if you will, you know, instead of you kind of like letting it go on for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes before he goes to that place, he'll figure it out. But you're going to need to
let me be clear. It'll take a couple of weeks of whenever he does this, you keep this pattern up. It's not that one time is going to take couple of weeks in his room, just to clarify.
So yeah, we actually, if you want ongoing support with this, this is the kind of thing that we help parents with every day on the Catholic HOM app. If you become a subscriber, you can interact every day with Lisa and I and our whole team of pastor counselors and coaches. It's not counseling. It's a coaching app, but it also gives you tons of resources to help build a more loving, caring, connected Catholic household, a great community of other parents around the world who are doing this, downloadable activities for your family, exclusive podcast content, really just a ton of resources to be the Catholic family that you're wanting to be.
And it's unique to every family. So what I think it will really do for you, Jessica, is invite your son into creating the kind of warm, close, connected Catholic family that you want to be, that you're trying to make happen, but he can buy into it and, you know, really have a voice in how that can happen in your family life. So he's not going to, I hate my life, the minute somebody corrects him about something, because you're building that connection where corrections aren't the end of the world anymore. They're simply teaching somebody how to behave well so that they can survive in the world.
Let me just address that directly. You know, the whole kind of a hate my life. He hates his life at that moment because he doesn't have any control over his feelings. Exactly. And he doesn't feel like you do either. Right? And so it's not that he's saying, I hate you or hate myself. Right? It's not a deep, dark psychological thing. It's just the expression that I feel completely powerless and out of control and no one can help me.
Now, of course, if he's in a good mood and in normal space every day and he's starting to say things that are remotely destructive about himself or his life, that's when you get a good evaluation and get him into counseling. But it doesn't sound like that is the case from your description.
Assuming he's in a decent mood most of the time until he melts down like this and then he goes dark, then that's really what that means. And the more you can give him that space to do that work on turning inside of himself, taking some deep breaths, calming down his body, you might even coach him through this when he's not upset. Well, tell him, you know, this is what I'm going to do. You're going to have to go to your room. These are the things that you can do to calm yourself down. Coach him through that. But then whenever it happens, don't try to talk him through it then. Put him in his place. I mean, literally, put him in a place where he's safe and he can be on his own and do the things. But if you want more coaching on this, we can help you on the Catholic HOM app. And tonight we are doing, for you and all of our listeners, the monthly Catholic Home Live Q&A at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central. Check it out. Join us this evening. You can find the link for that on the app as well. All right, Jessica, that's all the time we've got. Thank you so much for the call. And listeners, if there's any way that we can support you in being a more confident Catholic parent, we hope that you will check out the resources we mentioned today, including our books, Parenting Your Kids with Grace and Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace. You can also learn more about the Catholic HOM app by downloading and subscribing today and become part of the Catholic HOM, that's Households on Mission community, to build a more loving, caring, connected Catholic household. Or if you need more personalized attention, CatholicCounselors.com is always here for you. Can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Check it out, CatholicCounselors.com. And I hope that you will get out there and celebrate the life God wants for you, because with His grace, there really is so much more to life. Thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.